This episode is brought to you by Coolie Nation.
It's your koozie hookup right there.
It is.
Custom koozies, shirts, hats, flags, any promotional items you need, they're the place to go to.
That's right. Weddings, bachelor parties, think about ordering a bunch of stock. They will hook you up fat.
And also, they do free design proof. So if you have an idea of a koozie, shoot it to them. They'll shoot you over a proof, and then boom.
Yeah, they do a really good job, because I actually, when I got ours, I had no idea other than our logo, and they came back with a bunch of ideas for me, so they've got a great team over there.
And where do they got to go to get that discount?
Head to coolienation.com/brisket, and you can find that link also in the description of this episode or on our website.
Hey, welcome into the 550th episode of Grabbing on the Brisket. I'm just kidding. I don't know what episode we're on.
Has it been that long? Oh, my God.
I literally don't know either, and I should know that.
It's our bicentennial. No, wait. I'm not using it correctly.
No, you're not. And it's fine.
I always mess it up.
Yeah.
Bison nickel. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. I actually mess it up on purpose just so you guys can correct me, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Just
right.
Correct you if you're
giving
wrong.
Guy, James.
Correct, yeah. Yeah. Hey, I try to get you involved.
That's great.
So we got a fun episode planned for you today. We got a wonderful interview with Bob Trudnick with Barbecue Guru.
Barbecue Bob.
Barbecue Bob. So it's going to be a fun one.
I'm excited for this one. Yeah. And I had a hell of a week last week, too. So I just want to throw that out there. I don't know if we're getting into that yet.
Or, yeah, no.
Yeah, tell us about your
first
vacation.
First of all, John, you can't do that.
I'm going to do it anyway.
You can't nominate yourself as a hell of a week.
I'm doing it.
And then proceed to just go right into it.
My week was so damn good.
Okay.
It was me and my wife in San Juan, Puerto Rico at the freaking Ritz-Carlton on the beach. Everything paid for. I think we spent like $140 the whole week in a pool with a freaking bucket of beer next to me the entire time. It was fantastic. First time vacationing without the kids in 14 years. It was amazing.
Wow. It's funny because I have my first vacation with the kids ever coming up on Friday. I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
So with the kids and without the kids, right?
It's a different vacation.
No, it is. It's just you like indulge in yourself, right?
Yeah, it's totally. Yeah, there's zero stress involved.
Well, other than drinking a bucket of beer, what'd you do?
Yeah. Give us,
I did some pina coladas, some margaritas,
rum. So rum,
yeah, a lot of
tequila.
Rum. Yeah, okay. And I don't ever do tequila, but these were, amazing.
Yeah, I saw you shot a lot of pictures, a lot of food porn pics to us, all throughout the whole
food.
Thing.
Yeah,
you indulged in the food.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys would go for everything I was eating, maybe Matt. I had some a lot of lobster stuff, a lot of really good steaks, some sushi type stuff. It was a lot of good shit. It was really good.
Nice.
Really enjoyed it. Huh. And when I got back, there was a new grill waiting for me in the entryway. So, boom. Okay.
John was very fortunate. Won a brand new Weber Retro.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are pretty pimp.
Yeah. It's the 70th anniversary. This thing is...
The turquoise one?
Slick, yeah. Oh. I guess they have four different colors, but the one I got has it looks like the emblem of an old T-bird or something around the...
we've seen them.
It's sexy.
You know what we thought? We're like, who really deserves this? And then we all thought of you.
Right. The guy who's on vacation for a week. Yeah.
This is the guy we would nominate. If anybody else could win one, no. Only this guy.
Yeah. That thing cost me $23.
There it is. Yes. It was our raffle thing, right?
Yeah. One of the groups I'm in on Facebook, so... Yeah,
coming to 500 TikToks near you.
Right.
There's already been two videos out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, shout out to Perry Brooks, Brisket Man on TikTok. He's the one that shot me a text, I think that day, or maybe it was Saturday or something like that. Mm-hmm. He's like, John just won a Weber. I'm like, John who?
Who is this?
Is this our John.
You mean James? Maybe it's James.
Right.
You spelled my name wrong.
Exactly. So congrats, John. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's badass. I'm super happy with it.
Yeah, and we got a lot of Oklahoma Joe pits to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
See, that happened right before you were leaving, I guess, right?
I haven't got to put mine together yet, but it's coming as well. I'm excited for that new Rider Deluxe.
Hell yeah.
And we just put together James's new reverse smoke, Oklahoma Joe.
Yeah, reverse flue.
Yeah.
The offset long, smoker, yeah.
The Longhorn.
Longhorn.
Yeah.
And you know, I was really shocked about that. It wasn't that difficult. Like, for being an offset smoker, you'd think it'd be a little bit more involved, but I think they kind of thought of everything you could do and still be able to, like, ship it and everything else, right?
Right.
So it was pretty easy to put together.
Well, it looks like a beast.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. We're sitting like 2 feet from it here. It's in the studio, so.
It is.
It looks like a beast.
All right, so barbecue news, John.
Barbecue news. Let's do some barbecue news.
I think you have a name for it.
I think Jan came up with a name, Hot Off the Grill.
Hot Off the Grill.
Yeah. What you called it?
I did.
Hot Off the Grill News.
Diddy, diddy, dee. It's almost like that. What is that? The Looney Tunes. Yes, like, exactly. That's all, folks. Great. Thank you. That's what happens when I don't drink.
What is going on with you? Yeah, so we had a couple of big things come to Memphis in May just happened. So we have some winners of that. And we also have just today they announced the Barbecue Hall of Fame winners for 2022.
Are we in it?
I think we were like two votes.
Just out of it? Damn it.
Sorry, we were extra. Really close
okay.
To winning that
right.
thing.
It's all we can do. Be close.
Yeah, anyways, and there's a lot of stuff. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on about this.
Yeah, reel off a couple names.
Yeah, get some highlights.
John Marcus, if you guys are familiar, he's the executive producer on Barbecue Pitmasters. Does a lot of competing.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Had some restaurants. Wrote on a lot of shows, including Mighty Mouse, 1978. I looked that up today.
Is that Looney Tunes?
I don't know. Is Mighty Mouse Looney Tunes?
No, I think it's its own thing.
It's a Warner Brothers thing, isn't
it? Yeah, I don't know. Ed Mitchell. He's one of the North Carolina whole hog cookers. Joe Traeger. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Joe Traeger.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, I think I heard of him.
He's
yeah.
from the family of Traegers.
Yes. Yeah, so... I mean, that had to be. I don't know if he was on there last year. If he's a first ballot guy, but he had to be, right? I mean,
yeah.
Whether you like pellet grills or not, what he brought to the barbecue
is that. So, yeah, what qualifies for that? Is just contributions to barbecue? Is that
well? It's the advancement of a whole new technology now. That's.
But I mean, that's what you get. That's how they award those. It's however you made some kind of contribution. To
I guess. Yeah, I guess like barbecue. Any Hall of Fame. Sure. I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, eventually we'll be up there with all the contributions that we lead to in this barbecue market.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure about that. And the last one was.
Well, that was good.
The last one was our friend we met. We met up in the MBBQA was Leanne Whippin. So she is.
Congrats,
Leanne. Hey, yeah. See. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. We know Leanne. So.
And Lex Schwinn.
Yeah.
Celebrity pitmaster, judge, pro competitor, restaurateur, TV personality. She's on the Barbecue Nation with our friend over there, JT.
Yep. She got that grabbing the brisket bump.
That's right. That's right.
Boom. Actually, and they host the podcast as well.
Yeah, the Barbecue Nation.
That's right.
Yep. So she's in, and I just talked to her today. Might have her on next week, if not maybe the week after that, to talk about what a badass she is.
Cool.
Legacy members, these are the folks that, I guess, passed away, but it's in its own category or whatever. Bobby Mueller, Louis Mueller's son. Karen Putnam, she was kind of like one of the, blazed a trail for women in barbecue, kicked a lot of ass. She's got a cookbook out there, too. Adam Scott, he's another Carolina whole hog. And I think he's got a barbecue sauce that's...
That sugar-free Scott's barbecue sauce, yeah.
Really popular. So, and the Impact Award, this is a brand new category they have, and this is so their inaugural winners went to the Unsung Black Barbecue Cooks. So, kind of cool.
Fantastic.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. And then, for Memphis in May, maybe somebody else wants to read off some of these?
Yeah, no, we did hand out pamphlets to everybody here at the table, but it seems like me and John's the only one that brought our homework to the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it on an email or something?
Yeah, it was on an email.
Let me reel off just a couple. So Memphis in May winner, grand champion was Blues Hog Barbecue.
Oh.
That has to be like, I mean,
we could have told you that, right?
Everybody uses their products. Yeah. Like everybody, and they still kicked everybody's ass with their own
stuff. That's saying something. That's the whole I'll tell you what I do. I'm still going to kick your ass.
Yeah. Well, we could have told you they're going to win anyways. Yeah, if they say this was in a category like at a fight, you know what I mean? Like, Blue Song? Yeah, we'll take them.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Pork Division? We got the ribs. You got Heath Riles coming in there with the ribs.
He was on our show.
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
Great
okay.
gentleman. Mm. Shoulder, we got Sweet Swine of Mine.
He was on our show, too.
Yep. There it is.
Mark Lambert.
Yep. That's right. And we're at the NBBQA.
Whole Hog, of course, went to Blues Hog. I think it's Whole Hog, like if you win Whole Hog, you're probably going to win.
I think you have a better chance, probably, but I know that there has been winners in the past that were one of the other two categories.
We got to ask how that whole thing works, because it might be similar to what Houston Last Talk Show and Rodeo You was like back in the day, where that just that one meet category could get you the grand champion. Right. And your meat, your brisket would go up against a chicken or pork rib. It could be a similar.
Yeah.
I don't know
if you're cooking all three or if you're just cooking one. I really don't know. But I know that they're judging you on. Fuck, I don't really know. I'm making shit up at this point.
Yeah. It's something that we can ask Bob later
on. Any more you say now are lies.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to stop right there.
Thanks.
shut up, Jim.
there's also the Green Grilling Award.
Okay.
I haven't heard of that one. I don't know if that's new, but I imagine it's relatively new. But that went to Sweet Cheeks.
That has to do with recycling.
I think it's like whatever team recycled the most trash.
Is it the most beers drank? Like, you had the most
if you just drink a bunch of beer and throw it in a recycle bin, you win.
You're the winner.
Yes. Awesome. Then the Kingsford Tour of Champions, the Shed Barbecue.
We had them on the show.
Yep, another one that we talked to at the
NBBQA. I'm not saying there's a correlation, but
I'm just saying
just grab them in the brisket.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
So I think the Kingsford Tour of Champ is like a People's Choice competition or something like that.
Correct.
Yeah. And then Patio Porkers by Porkitude. Sorry.
Porkitude, yeah.
Porkitude. So that's the Patio Porkers is the equivalent to the barbecue or backyard division. Okay. So I guess I don't know if they just means they don't do a lot of comps or what. How you do
maybe
the backyard?
They probably set up the pros to be in this certain division. Yeah. And maybe you got some the up and coming newer.
That's kind of cool. I like that. You know,
get your feet wet.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see a lot of those backyard division ones around here.
Mm-mm.
And Jan still doesn't have his thing out. So the ancillary categories.
I'm sorry.
We'll go into that.
I'm not
going
to have it. I can't log into it. So. Okay.
So the turkey was Iowa Barbecue Store Corn Cookers. The hot wing competition went to Sweet Swine O' Mine, our friend. Beef, which I'm assuming is brisket, or I don't know if they can cook any beef or if it's just brisket. It's probably brisket, right? It's got to be brisket. Boar's Night Out, we have not had on yet.
We've not had, but Heath Riles was with Boar's Night Out before he went and started.
Yeah, so was Malcolm Reed.
Yep.
Who is with Killer Hogs now, and he won the poultry division.
There it is.
Or section, or whatever the hell you call it. Seafood. Pure Pleasure Porkers.
Triple P's.
All right.
And I wasn't going to name any second places, but I will say Mo Kayson got second in seafood. So nice job, Big Mo. Exotic was the Beastie Boys.
Very cool.
I wonder what they made in that exotic.
I don't know. We can reach out. We can ask them.
Sauce division, we got the tomato burnt finger barbecue. Mustard sauce went to the Pig Diamonds, and the vinegar sauce went to Colonel Rib.
Okay.
All right.
Damn. It's a lot of categories.
All right.
There's a few more little miscellaneous categories that I don't think we have to get into, but we'll post this. We'll post it in the description of this episode. If you want to see it, you can go see
it. Look yourself. Yeah. Why are you asking us to
look?
Do it?
Just scroll down, Buzzle.
Google this shit.
Hey, what I did here is there was a lot of people that we have got to hang out with or have met or had on the podcast or whatever that were being called out.
Yeah, some close personal friends of ours.
People we spend time with.
If you want to win these competitions, you need to kind of,
be on the show.
Be on the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell your people to reach out to our people.
Support our show. How about that?
Definitely.
Oh, congratulations to all those people, though.
Hey, we're going to take a quick little break here, pay some bills, stay tuned, see you in a sec.
Yeah, here's a word from our sponsors. Hey guys, let's welcome in Bob Trednick, a.k.a. Barbecue Bob, a.k.a. the Barbecue Guru. Hey Bob, hey, thank you for being on the Grabbing the Brisket podcast.
Hey, you're welcome. I got a lot of AKAs, I guess.
I do. Right. I was like, holy
shit. Can we add any more?
Yeah. Let's come up with another one during this.
You forgot a.k.a. Bobby T.
There Bobby T. Bobby T.
Yes. Yes. That's for the new, I don't know if it's new really or not, the pizza sauces and whatnot, right?
Yeah, the pizza sauce and seasoning. I came out last November with them.
Nice.
Yeah, that's something that I guess Jan's ears perked up a little bit, and he's like, barbecue? I mean, pizza sauces and seasoning? Like, Jan's oh, been doing, yeah. He's been trying to craft making his own pizzas here.
Yeah, I'm 2 years into working on my own dough sauce recipe. Not to sell, not to do really? Anything with it, just at home, right? Just trying to perfect the perfect pizza and sauce and cheese. And I don't know, I'm really big into it. I think about it a lot. I watch a lot of videos. I love pizza.
Sounds like you just need to try his.
Yeah, I know. Like I so listen, I'm definitely going to order some. So there it is.
Well, thank you. Yeah, just get me an address. So I'll get you some out to try and let me know what you think. But I've been doing homemade pizza. My grandmother taught me how to make homemade pizzas. I was like 7 years old.
Nice.
So it just came naturally to me.
What do you cook yours on now? Like, are you doing it outside on the grill or something? Or you got a little special oven for it?
So, well, back in January, I became a brand ambassador for Alpha Ovens.
Okay.
And Alpha Ovens are out of Italy. They're beautiful wood-fired. They do wood-fired and gas-fired ovens.
Oh,
but
man.
I'm a barbecue guy, so I wanted all wood. So they sent me one of their all-wood 4PZA models. And it's gorgeous. I use wood splits. I cut down a maple tree here about a year and a half ago. I've been using all maple splits. And, you know, I just really, I'm having an absolute blast with it because I'm doing way more than pizza. You know, I'm doing all kinds of meats in there and side dishes and desserts. They're really cool oven.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, you can, people don't realize just, you know, you're outside. It's just like barbecuing and whatever else. I mean, essentially, I mean, there's no difference, right? You've got a live fire and you're cooking whatever, but you can cook steaks.
Exactly.
I mean, I've seen some of the products coming off of those pits, and I was, first of all, it was eye-opening to see that you could even do a dessert and you can do different things on those style of pits. And people think like, oh, they're only for pizza. And you're like, no, that's an oven. That thing's built to cook whatever you want, breads, whatever.
Yeah, it kind of equates to barbecue just a little bit, except for all the work is done in the prepping, right? The beforehand. The cooking portion only takes like, you know, what, minutes?
Well, it depends on what you're cooking.
Yeah, so it's, right. It's hot and fast. When you're making pizzas, there's a ton of prep work. I do a 28-hour dough. And I've done a lot of dough recipes over the years. I've cooked a lot of pizzas in ovens, on grills. I've burnt more than my fair share of them on, you know, ceramic grills and stuff. But I've really perfected a dough that I absolutely love. I teach it in my pizza classes. And
we're best friends right now.
You know,
now.
there's a lot of prep that goes into it. And then you pull off a pizza every 90 seconds. It's ridiculous.
That's what I'm talking about.
I need this class.
I know. I am like, my ears are like on fire right now. I'm like, I got to take one of your classes. This is,
yeah, for sure.
This is because I'm just a guy from Texas that loves, you know, I mean, I do like, I love cooking inside, I love cooking outside. So I love both aspects of it and whatever. You know, I'm not just a barbecue guy or whatever else, but making doughs, making breads.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's art.
Yeah. It is, man. So
I'm the same way. You know, I'm the same way. You know, I can spend hours making like pepper jams or mustards or whatever. I don't, you know, I love all aspects of cooking, prepping, side dishes, everything you could think of.
Nice.
So I know you have to have been putting some barbecue meats on your pizza. Is there like a favorite of yours?
Oh yeah, I did a brisket pizza a few weeks back. Man, did that get some hits.
Yeah.
We cater. So my wife and I have a catering business in the Philly suburbs. We've been doing that for 11 years or so. And I knew that I was cooking pizzas that Friday night, and we had a catering gig for, it was like a luncheon that day for briskets. And I'm like, listen, we're cooking an extra brisket because I'm going to start making brisket pizzas. And I know my daughter loves brisket pizza. She actually introduced me to this brisket pizza that her and I made a couple of years ago for Father's Day. and it had like goat cheese on it and all this other stuff. It was awesome. So I decided to do like a, it's like a Neapolitan pizza, with sliced brisket on it.
Nice.
And I made a reel with it and stuff. And yeah, it came out great. But I want to do burnt end pizzas. I want to do pork belly pizzas. And, you know, I love to come up with some wacky and crazy ideas.
That sounds amazing. You do any calzones on that thing?
You can do whatever you want.
I have, yeah. I've done some. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. I've done calzones. I've done strombolis. I'll smoke wings. And then I take my, I have a wing sauce on the market. I named after my son. It's called Mighty Mitch's. And I'll take that and put it in cast iron with the smoked wings and put them in the pizza oven at like 650 degrees, and they get super crispy in about 3 minutes.
Yep.
And I pull them out and put some crumbled blue cheese on there, and the people go nuts for them.
That sounds amazing.
I'm going to have to get some damn pizza tonight now.
Right.
Pizza down here in Texas is insane.
No, we don't have pizza like you do in you know, the Philly area. Then you have whether you go all the way up to like New York or whatever else. But is that considered Midwest, or is Philly still
Northeast? Right?
Is it? What is Midwest?
Philly's Northeast. Northeast.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize how spoiled I was until I started traveling.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in Atlanta, all over Texas, the Midwest, and I'm like, oh, there's a pizza joint. You know, I'm staying at a hotel, let me order a pizza. I'm like, what the hell is this?
It's not pizza.
It's not good.
This is what they're calling pizza?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Everybody, I'd rather eat freaking Domino's.
Right. Everybody recommends, like, oh, you got to go try this pizza place over here. And then you go try it, and it's like straight trash.
Right. I think it's a difference in like even here's the deal, even making doughs and whatever else, right?
It's the bread.
There's a water. Even our water is different.
And the air and the humidity and everything.
Yeah, the humidity's bad here. It's just different than going up north and you know in that direction or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I definitely I'm like any pizza like you're talking about like well New York style Chicago. I've had Chicago, New York. I've had a lot of them, but. Is there a certain one for Philly that does Philly have a certain style or a pizza is the same? No.
Well, I mean, Philly has a lot of different styles. But I mean, like the New York round thin crust is big. There are some places known in this area that do the cheese first and then the sauce. I'm not a huge fan of that. I like the sauce to hit the dough and build on the crust and then your toppings on top of that. But I actually grew up in this like northeast part of Pennsylvania, Scranton, northeast PA. Old Forge is a town up there, and they have their own style of pizza. It's really interesting. It's a square or rectangle pizza, very crispy crust, not too thick, not too thin, almost like a thin.
Thin Detroit or something.
Yeah. It's like a Detroit pizza style. The crust is, but it's very cheesy. And they actually a lot of them will blend their sauce and cheese together before it goes on the pizza.
Oh wow,
that's interesting.
And it's good. It's very unique. It's very cheesy. They do a lot of like sliced sausage as opposed to crumble. Very flavorful. They'll mix American cheese in with cheddars, so it's very creamy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. So I've been fortunate to grow up on fantastic pizza. Actually, one of my favorite pizza places growing up became famous through that show, The Office,
mm-hmm. right?
Called Alfredo's.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Alfredo's. I never watched The Office. It's not my thing, but. And I heard it's funny and all that stuff, but I grew up in a little town called Chinchilla. And Alfredo's pizza place was a tiny little place at the bottom of the hill of the mountain I grew up on. So I used to walk down there, get pizza for lunch with my buddies, come back up. Then they moved, and I thought they were out of business. But they opened up in another part of town, and then years and years later, they became famous on The Office. And that pizza's phenomenal.
Now, but, is that...
Yeah, you get spoiled and you...
Is that Alfredo's pizza, or is that pizza by Alfredo?
He hasn't seen the episode. He doesn't know what you're
talking about. I had to do that for the fans that were listening.
I know it's Alfredo's pizza. It's the original, and you got to try it. But I've never seen it, so I don't know what made it so famous.
Right. Yeah. I think there was a bit in the show about it or something, right?
Yeah. That's funny.
So, Bob, we've seen you all over TV. We know that you've done a bunch of competitions, and you've cooked at some of the top competitions all across, not just this country, but all across the world. Usually we like to have you kind of let us know how you got into this whole barbecue thing and this whole guru thing, and then what you're kind of up to nowadays, and it, you know, if there's a notable competition out there that you've competed in, that you're kind of your top favorite moment. I mean, we'd love to hear anything you'd like to share with us.
Okay. Well, I hope you have a couple hours. I'll keep it, as much as I can to the point. But, so it's interesting. You know, I grew up loving to cook, Italian grandmother on my mother's side, and, you know, just being around people who love to cook and cooked a lot for big groups of people for the family. So that was already in my blood. And then the whole homemade thing became, you know, as I was became an adult, I wanted to make my own. I didn't want to buy stuff. I wanted to make it. Whether it was a barbecue sauce, a seasoning, a mustard, beer, wine, you name it. I was just drawn to creating my own. So back in 1999, now I have a degree in marketing and photography and design, and back in 1999 I was at a company I didn't really love, and my wife was working as a nursing recruiter, and one of the people she worked with, her son-in-law, owned a business, and he was an inventor, and they wanted to. So they start chatting, and they wanted to interview me because of my design and marketing skills. So I met with them, and I interviewed with a man named Fred Perkle, Shotgun Fred. And he was from San Antonio, Texas originally, moved up to Chester County, Pennsylvania. He was an engineer and started engineering his own temperature control valves for a lot of, for the pulp and paper industry, for the railroad industry, for the chemical tracing industry. And he was looking for a guy who could do marketing and, you know, photography and all that. Well, when I showed up and I was chatting about like food and some of my portfolio or like food photography and all this stuff. And he's like, oh my God, he started talking about barbecue. And, you know, I talked about my love of cooking and we hit it off. So I started working for him on the valve side of things in 1999. By 2003, we had come up with, and mainly Fred, you know, I was just helping him along, the younger guy back then. And I was helping him in his development of this Barbecue Guru temperature control system. So he taught me what real traditional Southern barbecue was all about. And it was more of a Texas style because that's where he grew up in San Antonio.
Right.
So as I was learning all this and we were developing products, everything from like tamale makers to salsa choppers, everything you could think of, we came up with this temperature control system. It was analog. It was very rudimentary. But we had a temperature control that sat on the stack of a ceramic grill with a actuator on it that would use wax and opened and closed a module to open and close the stack of the cooker based on temperature. So
it was like a thermocoupler,
as
right?
So this was before the electronic, before the probes, before the electronic control. It was basically a thermostat that sat on top of the stack.
Yep.
yep. and would open at a it would open and close to allow airflow or not allow airflow.
Huh.
Something very simple. And as we were testing it, the guys in the shop were complaining that the smoke was rolling into the, you know, assembly areas. So he grabbed a big industrial fan and started blowing air past the cooker out to the back parking lot. And he realized how quick that modulated shut because there was too much air flowing by and getting into the bottom of the cooker. So a light bulb went off in his head. And, you know, we ended up getting in touch with a friend of his who was an electrical engineer. And we developed this fan system that was controlled electronically and with probes to maintain the temperature in a cooker based on airflow. So it was modulating a fan instead of controlling a stack.
Yep.
And that was revolutionary. You know, and our first control was, we called it the competitor. We had a pit minder and a competitor model. One had just pit probe. The other one had a pit probe and a food probe. And we start making these things, screwing them together, getting the boards assembled. And in the first event we ever went to was Memphis and May World Championship in 2003 down on Tom Lee Park, Memphis. And we had backpacks with brochures that I made and with controls. And we were asking teams if they would try it out. We didn't know how serious the barbecue thing was back then.
Yo, man.
We just knew there was, you know, 300 guys on the river drinking beer and had smokers going. So, you know, it was that. It was like grassroots kind of marketing. Like, here we are. I'm Bob. This is Fred. You know, we're introducing this product, and people thought we were nuts. Like, you can't have a computer control of charcoal fire. What are you, crazy?
Right.
And then a couple people let use them on their cookers. And we proved to be successful. They were like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. One of my buddy, longtime buddies, Joseph, he was out of Houston, Joseph Korchanek, Poking Eye Barbecue. We installed one on his cooker. And, you know, in a rough Texan kind of voice, he's like, God damn it, boys. He goes, you sure as hell took the C out of cooking. But oh, sure, man. As hell put the D back in drinking.
I know. That's funny.
It was one of those things. You know, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to worry about dampers. I don't have to worry about wind. I don't have to worry about rain. So, you know, we knew we had something. And I told Fred, you know, we need to have a barbecue team. We have a passion for cooking like these guys have a passion for cooking. We need to be one of them. We need to be competitive barbecue guys who understand the whole industry, and we need to sell to these people because we need, you know, we don't just want to be on the outside looking in. We need to be one of them. And I really felt strongly about that. So we started a team, and then I realized how much I loved it and I was obsessed with it and I loved competing, and we started doing well, and it just kind of rolled from there.
That's awesome.
It just snowballs, doesn't it? You get that first walk and it's all over.
Yeah. I mean, I think my first call was in Philly. It was called the Liberty Bell Contest. I think there were so many teams there, they called top 15. I got 15th in chicken. And I was thrilled out of my mind. You know, so then from there, I was able to go to the Jack, you know, in 2010. We went to the Jack, and we were like a point away from Grand Champion. We took reserve Grand Champion at the Jack Daniels. And that was an incredible moment for me, for us as a team. My brother Mark was there. My friend Kenny was there. Fred was there. Fred was in poor health back then. He passed away in 2012 of ALS, but he had had a stroke at a contest in 2008. And it was rough for him getting around. He had a driver, and he was there. He was able to be there with us. But, yeah, reserve Grand Champion. QAL beat us by, like, a point, maybe less. That was an incredible moment.
That's awesome.
You know, second place rib call at the American Royal. You know, first place. I took first place ribs at the World Food Championship in Vegas. You know, there was a lot of wonderful moments. You know, many state grand championships, especially in the Northeast.
Yep.
And then in 2013, I was fortunate enough to go to England and compete. And I met a lot of great people, you know, throughout England and Europe there. And I think we finished third overall. You know, it's funny because they told us, hey, we supply the meats. And we were traveling to England, so I'm not going to be carrying briskets and pork butts and ribs with me.
You can't check.
But I just, yeah, check your bag. Now, since then, I may have smuggled in a couple briskets and some really nice ribs over to Europe. But that was my first trip over there, and I didn't want to take a risk. I didn't know anything about traveling with meats. So I get there, and we, you know, I'm like, well, where are the meats? And they showed us, they had like a walk-in refrigerator, and there was a box, I don't know, maybe it was 12 inches long by 10 inches high by 10 inches deep, and they're like, they're your meats. I'm like, well, all right, well, which one is this? Is the brisket or the pork? Or no, that's all four. What? That's your chicken, your ribs, your pork butts, and your brisket. I opened this thing. The brisket looked like a London broil with a slice right down the center that was probably a half inch deep. There were baby back ribs in there that were no wider than an iPhone 8 and probably about as thick. There were like 8 chicken thighs, and then there was this piece of pork that resembled a pork butt. I was like, wait, are you shitting me right now? Like, this is what I'm cooking for the competition? I'm like, well, I don't know where to get. There's like no butchers over there that are supplying competition barbecue meats. So I made the best of it. You know, I trimmed the brisket. And it was literally like a large London broil. And there was a slice right down the center. So I turned it over, and what was the bottom side of the flat, I made the top side of the flat to hide the slice. I ended up putting about 18 ribs in the box because they were so tiny. You know, we managed to get some pulled and sliced pork in there. And then the chicken was the chicken. They were just tiny little thighs. So every piece of chicken I cooked, I put in the box. And we ended up like second ribs and fourth in brisket and, you know, third in chicken, and we ended up third overall out of like 30, 40 teams.
Now,
I was thrilled.
Did you keep your same flavor profile, or did you tweak it? I mean, I don't know. Are their taste buds a little bit different over there in England versus what you would see probably where you're from or here in the United States?
I think now there's a lot of different flavor profiles.
Okay.
When I went over there in 2013, I came over there with my products. Well, what products I had. I had one sauce and one rub back then. I came over with what I used in American KCBS barbecue competitions. I know Dr. Barbecue, Ray Lampe, was over there teaching for quite a while. Rocky Danner used to go over there and teach. They knew what American flavors were. They didn't have all the products over there like they do now.
Right.
And then when I started going to Germany and the Netherlands and cooking, it was kind of a progression. Like, I would always bring my own flavors. And I was teaching classes over there. So I taught a class over there, and I want to say 2015. And I taught them what I used in the U.S., And then dealers would call suppliers in the U.S. and try to get those products. And then Mo and I taught classes over there. Tuffy, Mo and I taught classes over there. So over the years, I think they've not only adopted American products to cook barbecue, especially KCBS events, but then they've also developed their own flavors. There's a lot of very, very talented cooks in Europe. But they were just trying to understand the whole KCBS thing, the whole flavor profile, and the methods of cooking and what to look for. But so since then, there have been a lot of very talented pit masters who've developed their own products, and I think they've added their own flair to those American flavors. So competing over there now, you know, you can still win with American flavors, but I think the judges are used to a modified version of that because so many pit masters have developed their own flavors over there since then and do really well with them. But at the end of the day, it's all about balance, right?
Right.
It's all about perfect amount of heat, perfect amount of salt, perfect amount of sweet. So yeah, they, you know, it's, I went over there with my own thing, and it's a ball from there. So if I were, next time I cook over there, which I hope is soon, I would do my due diligence and taste some of the more popular brands over there against what I'm bringing and possibly make some tweaks.
Do they have a championship over there in Europe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a few of them over there.
Okay.
I haven't really kept up with all of them. There's one I always wanted to do. It was in the Italian Alps, and it's in January. And you have a cabin, and you're on probably 3 to 5 feet of snow. And by the end of the weekend, your smoker is down about 3 feet because it's melted down into the snow. And you're dressing up, you're bundling because it's like -30 degrees. But man, what a challenge that would be, right?
Oh yeah,
that sounds cold.
Yeah, it's incredible. But yeah, I mean, one of the contests I used to do in Ruhrpott, I don't even know how to say it correctly, and I've been there a bunch of times. It was in, I guess, kind of the northwest part of Germany, and it was the biggest barbecue contest in Europe for many years. There'd be 120 teams there, 130 teams. And, you know, there'd be American teams that would come over, and teams from, 20, 30 different countries. And that was a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was, you had to be on your game because there's a lot of teams there and a lot of great teams. So you would have to make your own sausage from scratch. You had to do desserts. And these were mandatory. There's aren't like ancillaries that you decide to do or not. They were mandatory. And then you have your chicken, pork, ribs, and brisket. And then it was $10,000 to the winner.
Oh,
there
wow.
were trophies from one, but it was 10 grand to the winner. And the closest I ever came was third. The first year I did it, I got third overall. And I think one other time I got like seventh overall. But it was a tough competition because, you know, I have a 30-foot trailer over here. Over there, I have two canopies, 37 degrees, rain's coming down. I'm sleeping on a 1978 plastic, lounge chair.
Sounds nice.
Right. Right.
Cozy.
With my head, next to the firebox, keep warm.
Extreme barbecuing.
Right, right. It sounds like a TV show
you
need to put out.
But I just love my experiences over there because it was always a challenge. Sometimes I didn't know what cooker I was cooking on until the day before. You know, the first time I went over there, I had to explore the charcoals. You know, I'm cooking on a charcoal smoker, and I don't know. They don't have B&B charcoal, or they didn't have B&B charcoal. They didn't have Royal Oak. They didn't even have Kingsford. You know, I bought like six different brands of charcoal, and I cooked on every one of them for days to decide which one I wanted to use for my first contest over there.
Oh wow,
that's like something you wouldn't even think about. Like, oh shit, they don't have a charcoal,
right? I know.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't the same. They didn't have all the brands back then. There's been a lot more distribution over there since then, and a lot more companies coming up with great brands. But they didn't have that my first few years going over there.
Yeah, I love how international this whole sport of barbecue has become. I volunteer for the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, their barbecue portion of it.
Can I stop you for a second, yeah. James? I'm sorry, Bob. We have to hear about this on a freaking daily basis that James volunteers
Look, okay. I'm just doing my wanted service you to, know. To the community.
Good Samaritan over here.
Please proceed, James.
Yes. St. James.
Yes. But they have the International Village there where they invite, I guess, and why I kind of asked you about the championship over there in Europe, because I know they bring over teams from UK, Japan, South America, Brazil. So and they bring all these guys, and they put them in the, I guess, the championship corner. Where they have like the winner from the Jack Daniels and Memphis and Mays and all these big time cook-offs, and they get to sit there next to each other and compete. And some of them have done quite well out there.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, I didn't know about that particular one. A buddy of mine, Dan Homan, who's from the Netherlands, talked to me for a while about putting together this Ryder Cup style, you know, championship where, you know, it was 100-plus teams, but they were taking the five best European teams for that particular year, five best-scoring teams, and they wanted to put them up against five American teams. So him and I talked about it for years, and I said, all right, we're gonna do this. We're finally going to do this. So Mo and I have been traveling over there and doing our thing and teaching classes and competing and, you know, making commercials and stuff. So I said, I'm going to be a team. Mo's going to be a team. We called a few people. We talked to Tuffy. He said, yes. We talked to Byron Chisholm, Butt Rub. He said, yeah, I'll come over. We talked to Sweet Smoke Q, Jim and Jeff Elser, and Michael McDearman was on the team. And so we got our five teams together and we went over there, and it was a double contest. So 100-plus teams, double contest. But then on the side, we were taking the five American scores against the five best European team scores to have an overall European or American champion.
Oh, wow.
It was really cool.
Nice.
Okay.
It was really cool.
Did you whoop them?
No. They got us.
They got us.
Now, we all the American teams finished in the top 10 out of the 120 some teams. But they got point wise, they got us at the end. And there were some crazy ass weather and stories. But this double was not like you're doing a turn in Friday and a Saturday and then another turn in Saturday and Sunday. This is chicken turn is a 12 and you're turning two boxes of chicken. Rib turn is a 12:30, you're turning two boxes of ribs and pork and brisket all the way down the line.
Huh. That's weird.
That's kind of cool, though.
So, yeah. So, and they had two sets of judges. They had two tents. So they had one table, and one of your boxes was going to tent A, and one of your boxes was going to tent B, and they were both getting judged at the same time.
Oh, shit. I've never heard of that type of scoring system. So is one of them, like, if you make it to the second table, or are you making it to final table? Is Tim?
It's like doing two contests at once.
That's crazy
because you have two complete judges.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like a A and a B, you know, and it was I forget what they called it. You know, it was like this. You know, this contest, Raga Fest. 2017 competition one and competition two.
Yeah.
And they called four separately, and you could win two grand champions if you know what I mean? That's really interesting.
No, that's very interesting. So is that something that y'all gonna keep going forward with and doing maybe every other year or something? They come here, we go there type deal?
We talked about doing it again. I would love to do it again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that we all get busy doing a million different things and being torn in 10 different directions, and we just haven't done it. And, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of travel like there was. This was in 2017.
Okay.
And we talked to one again, and, you know, well, dare I say, COVID hit.
I'm not going to lie to you. That is something that I think a network or something like that would. It's kind of a cool little thing. I mean, if you think about it, that if it was going to be pitched as a show or something, because I could see that taking off, going like you're taking the best of, you know, this team captain is picking these different teams to go and go against this group. It's from basically the Ryder Cup series style. I mean, it's just, that's kind of a cool idea.
It was awesome. I would sign up for something like that again in a heartbeat. There's actually a 30-minute show on it. They filmed it. So I'll have to get you the link.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you haven't seen it, it's really cool. And it was really fun because, you know, because I traveled over there. Now, I did smuggle a brisket to that contest. I had a beautiful Wagyu.
Rightfully so.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Did you have like duct tape to your chest when you like? Yeah.
How did you
roll through customs? Or
no, I had the point strapped to one leg and a flat strap to the other.
Next on Smugglers, I've seen that TV show.
Right. Yeah, the brisket smuggler.
Oh yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
hey, you do what you got to do, man. Hey, it is what it is, right there.
Yeah, but I handed in two brisket boxes off of one brisket.
Again, you do what you got to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I did two boxes off four racks of ribs. I bought my chicken there. You know, it's wild.
Yeah. Huh.
That's crazy.
Hey, Bob, I was going to ask you really quick. I know we're probably pressed for just a little bit of time, but barbecue fail. I mean, we always ask the guests, do you have a notable fail? And honestly, it doesn't have to be barbecue. It could just be, I don't know, pizza fail,
catering,
whatever. You got any quick little story you can share with us?
Oh, Jesus. I have so many fail. Listen, if you don't fail, you succeed.
That's right.
Because that's how you learn. I tell my kids that every day. Don't fail too much, but you got to fail once in a while so that you can learn from it. But I'll tell you a quick one. This is one of my favorites. It actually turned out in my favor, but this is a great lesson for anyone who competes, who cooks, who challenges themselves. And all right, so here's what happened. Years ago, there used to be the Sam's Club tour, okay? The Sam's Club barbecue tour, it was KCBS style. And it started out with 750 teams across the country from East Coast to West Coast. And you had to win a local event. So you had to take top 10 in a local event to move on to a regional round. And then the regional round, you had to take top 15. And if you came in top 15 in your regional round, you went to the championship in Bentonville, Arkansas. It was the top 50 teams out of 750 teams that started out. And I was very fortunate to get to Bentonville, Arkansas, the top 50 teams, several times, maybe five times over the course of the years. So I was at a regional event. I was cooking by myself. I had my brand new trailer, my 24-foot rig. And this was the first time I was cooking out of a trailer that had a kitchen in it and a porch where my smokers were. And like I said, I was cooking alone. We had some weather come through. I made a few changes. I had a new trailer, and I decided that I was going to cook chicken drums instead of chicken thighs.
You're right.
And I did this. I practiced the heck out of this because I thought I would stand apart. And this was at a time where chicken legs, chicken drums, were not a very popular thing to do in KCBS. Everybody was handing thighs. So when you did legs, people were like, ooh, you're either going to kill it or you're going to get killed. So I made a decision to do the legs. I practiced my ass off. And we had power outages. And I have this little, so I get all my seasoned chicken, all my chicken seasoned, I get it on a rack. First time doing it in a competition. And I step out of the kitchen to the back porch of the cooker with this beautifully seasoned chicken, and my toe hits the threshold between the doorway. Hmm. And I jerk forward, and chicken legs are round. Chicken thighs are flat.
Yep.
Those every freaking chicken leg rolled off of my rack and hit the trailer floor.
Oh, man.
Now, I'm on a timeline here. I've got to be on my game, and I'm cooking alone. So I just put the rack down. I put my hands to my head, and I just shook my head. I was like, I can't even believe this. So I told myself at that moment, like, you have 2 hours to turn in. You're either going to fail or you're going to figure out a way to make this work. And I picked up every piece of chicken off the trailer floor, which I just sweat. It was cleaner.
Hey, cleanish.
Right? Hey, but,
you know, 5 second rule is fine with
me. Cleanish. So we're in a parking lot. So when you're stepping on and off the trailer, you're bringing pebbles and rocks and whatever up. I filled up a bus tub of clean water, and I soaked and cleaned every piece of chicken and dried it off, and I re-seasoned it, and I bumped my smoker up by 25 degrees, and I put that chicken on. And I cooked that chicken at, you know, instead of cooking at 275, I was cooking at maybe 305.
Yep.
Because I lost a ton. And I went through my same process. I made tweaks along the way. I put it in the box. It didn't look as great as it would have normally. But I think I cooked 18 pieces of chicken, and I turned in 8. And I think I bit into every one of those extra pieces of chicken to make sure there were no freaking pebbles in there.
Right.
And there were no pebbles. Like, I turned it in. I was cooking next to Jeff Elster, the Elster boys, and, you know, a couple other guys. And so we get to awards, and I'm just pissed. I'm pissed because I know I had good turn-ins, except for that. So they're calling chicken, and they're calling 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. And I'm telling these guys the story, and they're like, dude, you know when that happens, you get a 180. I'm like, I never had a 180 in my life. They're like, no, you get a 180 when you drop things like that. They call first place barbecue guru. I get a perfect 180 score in chicken.
Shut up.
I couldn't freaking believe it. You know how fast I ran up to get that damn trophy?
Oh, yeah. You sprint, like, right? Yeah.
I was like, flash. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, they start throwing arm meat on the ground.
I know. Maybe that's the key to it.
Maybe it's washing your chicken first.
That's not it.
No, wash your chicken. Yeah, but maybe it is. But maybe it's also throwing it on the ground first and then washing your chicken.
Mm, it tenderizes.
And then, actually, maybe if you did all that and it just bumped up 25 degrees, you might have a winning. You know what I mean? Not that you already don't. I'm just saying. What if that was actually your method? And somebody was trying to learn off of you. You're like, holy, this guy is a freaking...
This is the part where you throw it on the ground.
This guy's a madman.
I tell that story at my classes. I should probably just shock the hell out of people and just throw my chicken on the ground at classes.
Yeah. Hey, it got me in 180. Now what?
But so afterwards, one of the guys handed me a little shaker container with a piece of tape on it. It said Barbecue Bob's Chicken Rub, and it was full of rocks and pebbles from the parking lot.
Nice. That's awesome.
That's really hilarious. Good.
Yeah, that's a fail and a win at the same time. You know,
that's a lesson to teach, and it's a lesson that I learned that day, is no matter how bad things are going, you can always turn them around. You just got to, you have to stop. You can't panic. You have to make decisions that are going to benefit you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dude, I earlier we were talking about the Barbecue Hall of Fame, Bob, and different people going in and whatever else. And I feel like, man, one day you're going to be in there.
Well,
was it
that may happen? I'm going to here's what I can tell you. I have a passion for barbecue. I have a passion for outdoor cooking. I absolutely love what I do.
Yep.
Every waking moment, and even moments when I can't sleep in the middle of the night, I think about cooking. I think, and I'm just going to keep doing my thing. And if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, I have goals. I have goals. That is, for me, is something that, you know, if people see me that way, that's amazing. And it'll happen. But that's not like one of my goals.
Yes, it's not a driving factor. Yeah, I get that. I just want to say, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, right. My driving factor is to be the best I can possibly be, to teach as many people as I can possibly teach, to be successful in the backyard, no matter what they're cooking on, and to continue to be creative and fun and educational. that's who I want to be.
That's awesome.
Sounds like you're nailing it.
Hell yeah.
All right, I think we're getting close to the end here, but if folks want to find out about your classes or any of your products or just want to be able to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Yeah, so I have a brand new website. So I don't know if you all knew this or not, but after 23 years with Barbecue Guru, we parted ways. And I've been building my own brand. And I'm really pushing my sauce and seasoning brand forward, my brand ambassadorship. So I'm available to be brand ambassador for, you know, many types of products and also my classes. So I started, I built a website out called BobTrudnackBBQ.com. And on BobTrudnackBBQ.com, you can learn about my sauces and rubs. You can go to a link to buy my products. You can see what I do as a brand ambassador. You can check out my classes. I do classes with Mo, the Bob and Mo BBQ show. And there are links to that. Mo and I travel around the country. I also do my own pizza classes and some smaller, you know, rib and chicken classes alone. And so everything you need to know about me is at BobTrudnackBBQ.com. And there are links there to contact me. And I'd be thrilled to talk to you.
I love that.
Very cool, man. I tell you what, I'm like, man, I'm going to start watching like every little video that you're putting out on social media sites. I'm telling you right now, I'm a huge fan, brother.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. Yeah, yep. I'm doing a lot on Instagram. I'm doing a lot of reels on Instagram now and TikTok. I have my secret to success is my son is 16. His 17-year-old friend up the street, she's teaching me how to edit these videos and post them and what's popular and what's not. So hire yourself a 17-year-old if you want to be popular on social media.
There it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to have to do.
Hey, Bob. Hey, we thank you for taking time out of your schedule to shoot the shit with us here at Grabbing the Brisket. We wish you the best of luck, and hopefully we can get you back on the podcast soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys. It was amazing. And when you're ready to have me back, I'll be ready for you guys.
All right, awesome. Brother.
Thanks, brother.
Later.
Have a good night.
All right. Take care.
Barbecue Bob, dude. I like that guy. He's pretty cool.
Man, first of all, he's kind of like a big guy, right? He's not a small in stature guy. He probably did. If I was like, oh, I met you, whatever. I almost said, hey, I met you at whatever. And he probably knows that, of course. But I just felt like, it's kind of weird. I don't know. I wanted to say a couple of things.
Right.
Earlier. Thank you for not embarrassing us.
Sorry. I didn't want to embarrass us. Damn.
The whole team would have just collective sigh.
Jan's like one of those dudes running up to one of those dudes at the Comic-Cons. Like,
right.
Hey, I remember I met you at the...
Yeah. You know what, James? You're just jealous because you could go.
Well, my time that I spent at Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo was really
that wasn't the same weekend, James.
A little bit, okay.
And again, that's your second time you brought that up now, and then it's what you do.
Whatever. Wow, that's freaking awesome.
And I think this leads us into the
grab 'em in the brisket
beer review.
All right. We are not sponsored by Martin House, but this is yet another beer from Martin House.
Why does this keep happening, John?
Because that's the one
they keep making more beers.
Yeah, they have the cool cans when I go to
H-E-B. It's the one that they put like right out front, like this end cap. It's just that's just where they go, and that's the first place you see. You're like, oh, new Martin House.
Yeah. Their marketing people do a good job with the cans, too.
For sure, for sure. This is a pink lemonade sour ale with lemon and raspberries, 5.2% alcohol. I know we don't generally go with the sours, but I don't know. It just jumped out at me. So
I'm not going to lie, like the first impression off of smelling this, it smells like a wine cooler.
I can kind of pick that up. You're right.
Hmm.
Mm. Put it in your mouth. Tell us about the can, Jan.
As he takes a swig.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the can is it's pretty retro, right? It's kind of a retro can. It's cool. It looks definitely like a ladies drink. And I say that because it's like a bright pink, a pastels, whatever, right? But I will say this is pretty tasty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do like the sours more on the tart side, like when we're dealing with like lemons or limes or that type of flavor profile. I mean, I like this. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
This is not bad. I mean, this is a refreshing drink.
I just don't like them when they're super over the top sour, and this one's not too bad, I guess.
Do you think it was earlier? I feel like you're holding back on us there, John.
No. Like some of the sours, when I taste them, I'm just like almost like an instant stomach ache. I can't do it. This isn't bad. It's not too sour.
This is like a watered down lemonade kind of thing.
Watered down. I wouldn't go with watered down.
Well, not watered. I mean, you know what I mean. But it doesn't taste as tart as you would get like with a.
They get a lot tartier with other tardy house.
Exactly.
Tardier?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome,
thank
Jim.
Thank you, okay. Matt.
Yeah.
I said literally what I was just saying, but okay. I didn't say tardier.
Well,
tardier.
No. You should have came up with the word.
Sorry. Something Mr. Building says on Saved by the Bell or something like that.
I'm not dumbass or your or something.
You'll think of a better
one. Can I go first on this?
Mm-hmm.
As far as being a sour?
Nope, just judge it.
This may be the best sour I've ever had in my life.
Oh, my God.
Because it tastes. I could drink this. I'll go to work drinking this. I mean,
you drink anything at work?
No, I'm just saying I would drink this in front of a cop while I was driving down the road.
Okay.
And then wave at him.
You're an idiot.
I'm just saying. I'd be like waving, like, hey, cheers, and like that, and just taking a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, keep going. No big deal. I'm just saying, but it doesn't taste like you're drinking alcohol. It tastes very refreshing. This right here is. And I have a hard time with it because I don't consider it a beer. I taste it like a really good drink.
You're judging it as how it tastes to you.
That's a 7.7.
Wow.
Okay, Matt.
I have a feeling I'm going to have the worst score. So do you want me to go next or save it for the end?
No, I
want to
hear it. I really want to hear it.
Okay. I think I'm going to give this like a 5.3.
Oh, man. It's so refreshing.
Yeah, well, I agree with your earlier assessment that it's like a watered-down lemonade.
It is.
You know, it's, I don't know, it's just, it doesn't taste how I want a sour to taste, and it kind of tastes a little watery. I don't know, it's just, it's really not doing it for me.
Yeah, but it didn't have that harsh chemically taste that you get on some of these ones.
You're right, there's some sours that are worse.
Right.
But you know what I mean? I don't think that makes this better. It's just not as bad as those.
Yeah. Okay, so you're a 5?
5.3.
5.3, 7.7, okay.
Sorry, John.
No, don't be sorry. I'm much closer to you than I am to Jim.
Okay.
It's okay. It's not great for me. Something with sours recently, they're just not doing it for me. I'm going to go probably like a 5.4. I'll be right there with you. It's not great.
Really?
It's okay. It's middle of the road. Damn. I would drink it if...
I'm way too high on this.
Yeah. I had to.
5.0.
Oh, wow. Okay, we're all about there.
Okay.
Damn. Yeah.
Jan's lost me. It. Yeah.
I mean, I would drink this like if it's the middle of summer and it's really hot outside
and there's
and
no
I'm
other
really
beer?
Thirsty and I didn't pay for it, I would drink it.
Well, I'm just saying this didn't taste. It doesn't taste too acidic. It doesn't taste too.
It's not awful.
Yeah,
it's not.
5 is not awful. 5 is okay.
It's very.
I just think y'all are being very negative on y'all's scores. I think this drink is. At least
I think what's happening is you might have rated it a little too high, and now you're trying to save yourself.
No, I think I am 100% spot on of how this tastes, of how it should be scored.
Well,
because y'all are grading this off of not taste, y'all are grading this off whether this is a beer and how you like beer and
I'm
whatever else.
How it tastes.
You're saying this is a 5 what?
Yeah, it's middle of the road.
For flavor?
Yes.
This is Flavor Town. This whole thing is flavor.
Oh, my God.
It's 100.
Our super fan Josh is going to go to HEB.
Yeah.
And he's going to pick this up.
He's
going to try it, think it's going to be some 7.7 or whatever you gave it.
It is a 7.7. When it comes to a sour? When it comes to a sour, this is a 7.7.
Okay. Well, you know.
A sour. Give me a better sour right now off the top of your head.
Any other one that I've ever had from Martin House.
Really?
Just name one other sour.
I would say any of their cobbler ones that they make. Are better than this.
Really?
Yeah. What was it? The blueberry cobbler one?
I don't know if I had that one.
I can go back and check your score if you want, but I'm pretty sure we rated it higher.
Okay.
Anyways, I think that wraps this thing up. I think we're done with the grabbing the brisket.
Liars.
Beer review.
Perfect.
Try to cut that liar.
I think we
out
do a
there.
Lot better on the outro beer review as opposed to the intro beer review.
Well, that's because we do beer review. We're going up
yeah.
for the intro and we go down for the outro. Right.
Oh, I see.
Do we do that? I don't know. I just
you
don't
might
kind of
do that.
We might even go back and listen to it.
That might be right.
Beer review, then beer review.
Right.
Do, re, mi, fa, solo.
All right, John.
I think we have a barbecue fail, right?
We do.
Or it's a win. I don't know. Somebody called in and left a message on the hotline.
I love it when people call in and leave us messages.
So they do. But real quick, I know we touched on this one time, James, where your barbecue fail was that you carried two briskets instead of just one brisket, and you dropped it in the middle of all of your acorn, acorn shells.
Correct.
It took a million hours of scrubbing that brisket to get all of those
nooks and crannies in that brisket.
Those little shells will stick in the fat. It was like, dude, you got to retrim this brisket. There's no way.
At that point, I'm just having acorn-crusted brisket.
You're not going to get this off.
That's a nice bark.
Yeah. And really quick before you play it, John, if people want to leave us a message, hit us up on the hotline. Shoot us your barbecue win or fail. Or if you got a question or you just want to talk shit to Jan or whatever, drop us a line. That's going to be 434-829-2299.
Yes. If you leave a message talking shit to Jan, I will personally send you a barbecue rub.
And ensure it's aired on the episode.
Bring it. Exactly. It will be on the next episode.
Bring it, brother. What you got?
All right. Let's hear this this barbecue win / fail.
This is Blaine from IBB Backyard Barbecue. Here's my quick fail. I really wanted to try a soft cure cold smoked salmon. I bought the salmon, skinless salmon fillet, put it in a glass dish, and covered it with some salt cure for 48 hours. The fail part of the salmon is when I used the gallon-sized Ziploc bag of water for weight to press the salt down on the salmon. During the check on the 24-hour mark, I realized that the bag had sprung a leak and soaked the salt in the salmon. The fail ruined the salmon and made it like a cow salt lick. The fix would be to use a pan on top of the salted salmon with baggies of water inside the pan in case there is leaks. Thanks, IBB Backyard Barbecue.
Dude, there it is, man.
Was that Blaine?
IBB Backyard Barbecue
with the salt lick salmon.
So, are you going to add him and tell him that we played it or no?
Of course, we got to send him his free bottle of
Suckle Busters. Everybody wants some Suckle Busters.
Did you just try to cue yourself in to get to say that? Is that what just happened?
Don't worry about it, Matthew.
He was pointing in like,
Hey, listen, good for you, man. I love this. Please call in and please give us your barbecue fails because we're going to play them on the thing.
Yeah.
That's super fun. And I'm sorry about your salmon, but you're going to get some kick-ass rub.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. All in all, this is a pretty kick-ass podcast what we did today. I really enjoyed talking barbecue with you guys.
Peace.
Later, guys.
Thanks, everybody. We've been great.
Dang it, Bobby. Just grab the brisket. We'd like to give a special thanks to Suckle Busters Barbecue Rubs and Sauces, Bonner's Fiesta Spices, Cooley Nation Custom Koozies, Camro Manufacturing, Yeti Coolers, the Smoke Sheep Barbecue Newsletter, and Dowstrong Knives. We definitely appreciate your support.